It's 1997. Shannon, a woman in her late 20s, walks into a crowded downtown bar. She's excited and maybe a little anxious. She scans the room. She's looking for her date, a man she's never met before. Not in person, anyway. Their connection is through Match.com, an online dating site that debuted 2 years ago. Shannon's used it a few times. It can be a real crapshoot. She sees the guy. He's sitting alone, looking at a drink menu. She sucks in her stomach and pulls up her cargo pants, just like the ones Jennifer Aniston wears, and elbows her way through the happy hour crowd to his table.
Chad?
The guy glances up and smiles. Other than his boy band hairdo, he actually looks like his picture. He's cute.
Hey, you recognize me, even with the frosted tips. And you must be Shannon. Guilty as charged. And, nice frosted tips.
They both laugh as he gets up and pulls a chair out for her. Bonus points for that move, she thinks.
So look, I know this is awkward, this whole online dating thing. Can we make a pact right now? I guess so. If we end up, you know, working out, the fact that we met online, we don't tell the grandkids. You might be jumping the gun a bit, but absolutely.
They're not kidding. In the late 90s, there's a serious stigma attached to online dating. It tends to attract those looking for one-night stands and short-term hookups. For those searching for a serious relationship, it seems, well, desperate. The waiter walks up and Chad orders.
Hi, I'll have a Michelob Amber, and the lady will have a White Russian? That's right.
As the waiter walks off, Shannon beams at Chad.
You actually read my profile. God is in the details, and the details are in the drinks.
Shannon has no idea what that means, but she laughs anyway. As the night goes on and the liquor flows, they warm up, bonding over stories of nightmare online dates. She tells Chad about the guy who was 80 pounds heavier than his profile photo. Chad tells Shannon about a woman who called 43 times in one night, but somehow couldn't manage to leave a message. And then there was the dude who told Shannon he needed penis reduction surgery. Sure, totally believable. Their war stories cover stalkers, oddballs, and the dark, lonely weirdos. Shannon feels totally relaxed with Chad. Finally, she thinks, a guy with no catches.
Hope you don't think this is too forward, Shannon, but how about we head back to my place? Well, I don't know. What will we do there? I can whip up some pasta and we can watch some TV. You know, like Ally McBeal.
He can cook? He watches Ally McBeal? This is just getting better and better.
That sounds good.
Chad signals the waiter for the check. When it arrives, he takes out his wallet. As he's reaching for cash, something falls out and clatters onto the table. It's a wedding ring. Shannon stares at it. Then she locks eyes with Chad.
So, you're married. I knew it was too good to be true.
Chad smiles.
I am, but no biggie. My wife's into chicks.
She slowly gets up and walks out of the bar into the night. Yes, the early days of online dating are a hit-and-miss game. Some people are looking for sex. Some are searching for true love. But it won't take long for this brave new world to be commodified. Some entrepreneurs will become enormously wealthy from online dating, while others die on the vine.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts. From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In our new series, we follow the fiercely competitive rise of online dating, from the early days of pioneer sites like Match.com and eHarmony, to groundbreaking apps like phone-focused Tinder, Bumble, and Grindr, to the latest in Gen Z quarantine dating, OkZoomer. The hunt for sex or companionship is nothing new, of course, but in the last 25 years, the web has changed the way this happens. Once culturally shameful, online dating is now widely accepted. And in the process, the industry has redefined itself into a high-stakes, multi-billion dollar marketplace. Companies will stop at nothing to get the coveted edge, fighting for hip cachet, consumer convenience, and tech advances. It's a tough business, but all's fair in online love and war. This is Episode 1. Lighting up Match.com. It's 1993. Gary Kremen is 30 and single. He's a smart, geeky entrepreneur, a Stanford grad, and he's looking for the right woman. Something real, someone to marry. But the options in his immediate orbit are pretty limited. At this moment in Kremen's life, the internet is in its infancy. Fewer than 25% of American households even have home computers. And there's no such thing as social media. Kremen could go to bars, but that's not his style. And even with introductions through friends, the prospects for a long-term relationship born out of multiple Long Island iced teas are slim. Sitting in his San Francisco apartment one night, he picks up the newspaper and goes through the pages of the personal ads. Most of them are men seeking women. God knows he's spent hundreds of bucks placing his own ads, all to no avail. Running his finger down the Women Seeking Men column, he reads out loud to himself, "Pretty young woman seeks wealthy man for marriage, must be 68 plus. Late 40s woman with children looking for Garrison Keillor type. Long-legged woman with a passion for romantic comedies and the Stairmaster seeks very good-looking male. Must be over 6 feet tall." Kremen throws the paper down in disgust and turns on the TV, and momentarily lands on something even more depressing.
"Don't be alone. Call the Love Line. Dial 1-900-909-2424. Make a date."
"My name is Ruth. Call me."
"Find a mate."
"I'm really looking for someone to settle down with, and it could be you."
"Call the Love Line. Dial 1-900-"
Kremen stabs the remote toward the set, clicking it off. Those 900 lines are just another scam. He's considered video dating clubs, but they can cost thousands of dollars just to join, not to mention the embarrassment of looking into a camera and shilling yourself.
"Hi, I'm Maurice. I'm an executive by day and a wild man by night."
"Hi, my name's Monroe. You've probably already noticed that I have incredibly blue eyes."
"Hi, my name is Phil. Most of my friends call me Big Phil."
"Okay, I like to talk to people deep into the night."
Kremen flops on his bed. He's exhausted. But he's obsessed with the idea that there's got to be a better way to find a partner. The next day, Kremen is at the tiny software company he owns with his partner, Ben Dubin. Kremen's at the computer dealing with incoming orders. In the early 90s, email is just catching on. When one shows up from a woman, a rare occurrence, he calls Dubin over.
Hey, Ben, look at this. It's from a woman.
Huh. So what?
What do you think she looks like?
How would I know, Gary?
What if she went to Kinko's, scanned a photo of herself, and sent it through the email? She could send information about herself, too.
Kremen's always been an idea guy. Dubin sips his coffee and looks at him, waiting for this to play out.
Think about it, Ben. If men and women supplied pictures and profiles, I could create a clearinghouse of single people looking to meet on the internet.
You know, Gary, you don't have to create a business just to get a date.
I keep telling you, man, just buy some decent clothes, get some exercise, and for Christ's sake, clean yourself up. You always smell like bacon.
But Kremen isn't listening. His mind is racing with possibility. He knows that many people still don't realize the potential of the web. It's good for way more than researching facts and figures. Why can't it be for finding people, too? He knows there are a lot of people just like him looking to connect. Using the internet, Kremen feels he can build an empire that could revolutionize dating, and love and marriage for that matter. He might even find a girlfriend for himself. It could make him rich, if only he weren't broke. In May of 1994, Kremen takes out a $2,500 advance on his credit card to buy the domain name Match.com. He's going to need a lot more funding, so he creates a business proposal and hits up former Stanford classmates and Silicon Valley connections. Most of them reject the plan. Serious online dating? It seems ridiculous. But a few venture capital investors believe it's unique enough to succeed. In the coming months, he'll raise close to $2 million. Kremen knows that to make his vision work, he's got to have data. It's the key to everything. Data could be sifted and sorted through a computer, matching people with unheard-of efficiency. And there's a brand new way to find things on the internet, something a couple of Stanford grad students launched in January. It's called Yahoo. Kremen is convinced all of this will separate online dating from the stone age of newspaper ads and the dark sleaze of phone personals. But to get that data, he needs a questionnaire. To create one, he uses his own personal checklist. His likes, his dislikes, what he wants in a woman, a sense of humor, education, animal rights, marijuana user, specific religious and political beliefs, the list goes on and on. Then it dawns on him. It's got to be about what women want. Without women, his idea is pointless, and where women go, men will follow. The internet is a brand new world for most people, and women comprise only about 10% of web users at this point. He figures that every female will bring 100 men. But how does he sell this to women? In June of 1994, Kremen decides the best way to find out what women want in a relationship, let alone a dating site, is to ask them. Armed with a clipboard, Kremen stakes out a street in downtown San Francisco.
Hi, could I ask you a few questions for a dating website I'm developing?
Bug off, Buster!
This is the early days of the internet, so when he starts to explain his idea, most women just blow him off. But a pair of young women hear him out.
So, would you join an online dating site?
I guess, as long as it isn't some sleazy meat market. I don't want to know about some loser guy's gross sex fantasies.
Yeah, and I wouldn't use my real name either, that's for sure.
Right, I wouldn't want some random dude seeing my picture along with my name. I mean, what if my dad saw it? Oh my God.
So, you'd be okay with getting emails from men if you like their profile?
What's email?
Between friends, family, and complete strangers, Kremen interviews over 100 women. But he's still missing something. His small team is made up of men. Finally, he hits upon the obvious. He needs a woman on the team. In December of 1994, Kremen is on the Stanford campus for a reunion when he recognizes someone.
Hey, Fran, is that you?
Gary? Gary Kremen? I haven't seen you since business school.
Fran Mayer is a strong, outspoken marketing executive. She's always found Kremen to be an energetic, intense character.
I know, huh? What are you up to these days?
Well, two kids and doing marketing for Clorox, so, You know, setting the world on fire. What about you? Funny you should ask. I've got this idea. I've been looking for a girlfriend using the usual newspaper personals and all that crap, which, believe me, is a losing proposition. Not to mention the phone personals. First of all, at $2 a minute...
As Mayer listens and sips her Chardonnay, Kremen pitches his match concept.
So, basically, we're bringing dating classifieds onto the internet. Anyone can connect. They can personalize their profile and send messages. Wow. That actually makes a lot of sense. You know, this could be big. Glad you said that. So, how about coming to work for me as a director of marketing? I need your skills, and I need a female vision.
Mayer takes the job. Fran Mayer hits the ground running. She slices and dices Kremen's questionnaire, replacing questions about women's weight with questions about body type. She pushes the idea of making Match a safe, anonymous online place to have fun, promoting security, a paramount concern among many women. Mayer raises the issue of allowing users to block potentially negative and abusive accounts. In an effort to throw a wider net for the site, she hosts happy hours to spread the word, and not just among women. She also pitches the concept to the LGBTQ community. She figures this could be an entirely new way to connect for the non-straight world. But her agenda isn't confined to familiarizing people with Match. She knows that to turn people into regular Match users, first, they have to get comfortable with the concept of going online. She wants them to fall in love with the internet itself. On May 21st, 1995, Match.com launches. The site is free. Initially, revenue will come in from ads, and when it catches on, Kremen plans to charge a subscription fee. But first, he wants at least 100,000 members. And to make that happen, he needs women to join. The press jumps on Match.com. Articles appear in Bay Area publications and national magazines like Wired, Forbes, and Rolling Stone. Kremen does TV interviews, announcing to one reporter that Match.com will bring more love to the planet than anything since Jesus Christ. By July of 95, Match has logged over 1 million hits. The site has 7,000 members and is growing by 10% a week. Kremen is getting positive feedback. Members are going on repeat dates. One couple gets engaged, and there's plenty of plain old hooking up, too. Within 3 months, membership climbs to 25,000. There's virtually no competition. Kremen is thrilled, though still single. He's working around the clock. But as the company grows, Kremen's decisions are increasingly at odds with his board members, a group comprised mainly of investors. Kremen's a quirky visionary and a skilled, hard-charging, if somewhat crass and socially inept entrepreneur. And despite his successes, his flaws will lead him into an unexpected showdown that will destroy his world. You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar?
Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. It's March 1996. Gary Kremen is riding high on the unprecedented success of Match.com. The site has close to his goal of 100,000 members, enough to start charging $7.95 for monthly subscriptions. Match has just received a second round of venture capital, a whopping $7.5 million. Kremen sits down for a meeting that the board has asked for. He figures it's yet another minor squabble. He knows there's friction with these people, but so what? The site is his baby, his creation.
So, Gary, as you know, we've got a potential fortune in Matches, a software platform, and you want to sell it to newspapers. I get it. The answer is no. Newspapers don't understand the internet. They're dinosaurs. What's the point?
The board members exchange uncomfortable glances. Kremen can be a hothead, and that fast growth of the site has him stressed.
The point is, Gary, that newspapers have been around for 100 years. They're not going anywhere. We can't just ignore that market.
No! The market not to ignore is gays and lesbians. They're 10% of our members. We should increase that, and we can.
All due respect, but that's not where we see the future.
Too bad! That's what I see. But then I'm not a homophobe. Anything else we need to discuss?
Well, yes. You're screaming at staffers, hiring kids in their 20s with almost no experience. And you fired an administrative assistant for refusing to work 7 days in a row. You know, that opens us up to legal action. And
people need to do their job. I work 7 days a week. I'm tired of these whiners.
We're sorry you feel that way. But you leave us no choice. We'd like you to step down as CEO.
Kremen is stunned. He's completely gutted. He stares back at the board in shock.
You've got to be kidding.
But they're not kidding. Kremen has no choice. Though he'll retain a seat on the board, he resigns as CEO of Match.com. And for the ultimate coup de grace, Kremen's girlfriend, who he'd met offline, leaves him for a guy she met on Match.com. The board quickly begins hunting for a replacement CEO. Kremen finds himself in the bizarre position of being part of the search for his successor. They find a perfect candidate, a guy even Kremen likes. He accepts the job offer. That weekend, he dies in a rafting accident. Two more CEOs are hired and quickly fail to work out. In 1997, the board makes a huge decision that Kremen strongly opposes, one that'll prove to be a tremendous financial mistake. They sell Match.com for just $7 million to a Connecticut consumer services company called Sendent. Electric Classified Inc., Match.com's parent company that Kremen founded in 93, goes out of business in 2004, still trying to sell Match.com software to newspapers. Exactly as Kremen had predicted. Though his share of the Match sale is a paltry $50,000, he will go on to be involved with some 50 startups. He'll also create web-related patents. And in 2007, the New York Times estimates his worth at $10 million. In 1999, Match.com changes hands yet again when Sendent sells to Hollywood power executive Barry Diller's massive media conglomerate Interactive Corp, known as IAC. This will be a crucial move, laying the foundation for IAC to become virtually untouchable in the cyber dating realm.
Well,
Along about this time, the industry gets a boost from Hollywood, specifically from a movie called You've Got Mail.
I turn on my computer. I go online.
Welcome. Welcome.
And my breath catches in my chest until I hear three little words.
You've got mail.
What is going on with you? Is it infidelity if you're involved with someone on email?
Following the movie, online dating profiles across all companies go through the roof. The brief late 90s dot-com boom with freely flowing venture capital also pushes the dating market. Niche sites like JDate targeting Jewish singles sprout up. But the major player is still Match.com, easily the nation's top dating site. But as a new century approaches, the first real challenger is on the horizon. It's led by an Orthodox Christian who believes in marriage, not one-night stands. On our next episode, Dr. Neil Clark Warren is a 63-year-old theologian and clinical psychologist with a vision for a site he's certain can lead to romantic success. eHarmony will be the first to rival the power of Match.com, and Warren believes he is on, quite literally, a sacred mission to offer something that Match.com can't match. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, this is episode 1 of Dating App Wars for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. I'm your host, David Brown. Peter Gilstrap wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louis. Created by Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.